Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast, home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's high time. We had a high time together. Together. Yes, it's high time. We had a high time together.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. And if you're an MMA fan, then you probably already know today's guest. Elliot Marshall became a household name in 2008 when he competed on The Ultimate Fighter, a reality show produced by the UFC. He made it to the semifinals, earned himself a contract, and plenty of action in the octagon. But since then, he has he's shifted things. And Elliot has a great story, and I'm happy to share it with you today. He and I are going to dive into mindset, using cannabis and CBD for both mental and physical recovery. We're also going to talk about grappling with our demons on and off the mat. And his podcast is called The Gospel of Fire, so you best believe there are plenty of little life tips sprinkled in along the way. Elliot is an entrepreneur, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, a UFC veteran. He's a husband and father and coach and mentor and motivator. And I really think you're going to love this chat. So thanks for joining us. But first, of course, we must get casually baked. Today, I am smoking some blood orange from Blessed Coast Farms in Humboldt County. Thank you very much to Siobhan and the Grow Sisters for this beautiful, beautiful flower that I will be partaking today. So just to catch up, the video is just setting up in the studio. I was hoping to video Elliot this morning on a video call, and I'm having some technical difficulties, so I'm improvising. You're going to see me. I'll add some images and video of Elliot into the mix, but I needed to practice, so here we are. Here we are. All right. The fuck? This is some sticky shit. Thank you, ladies. Alrighty. Smoke a baby bowl because I need to have my wits about me. Thank you very much. Oh, my spluffy's across the room. I guess we're blazing the studio. Right, Blaze? So I fucking hate watching people fight. It physically makes me uncomfortable. So it's interesting to talk to somebody who their job is basically to just kick somebody's ass all day or trade people to be disciplined enough to kick somebody's ass. But yeah, I'm curious to dive into what that mindset is and how you kind of get in the zone, because seriously, I would be huddled over, crouched in a corner. I'd be terrible at that. Like, I don't want you to hit me. I want you to hug me. I would be one hell of a hugging champion. Hell, maybe I am. I'm declaring myself the ultimate hugging champion of the world. All right. I think I'm properly baked. Let's do this. Time for Elliot to call.
I got the bottle of wine, the high dollar kind. I got the West Coast smoke, but I better just...
Wow.
Wow, technology.
I'm not even smart enough to work my own equipment today. Jesus. Thank God I already meditated. I would have lost my fucking mind. So, Elliot, I like to always just jump in and start talking. Ben has always told me things about you over the years, and then I went online and was looking at your website and reading your bio, and I'm happy to welcome a proper badass with a giant heart onto today's podcast.
I like the giant heart better. How about that? You know, that's what I'm trying to lean to. We can all, I actually had this discussion with some friends of mine the other day about what a badass actually is, you know?
Yeah.
I'll take the giant heart and trying to make it bigger.
So I'm curious what did come out of that conversation? What does make a true badass?
Nobody will answer me because we were talking, I don't know what we were talking about, like what masculinity is, you know, what's it mean to be like a man?
Yeah.
And then we got into talking about, all right, well then what's it mean to be a female, like a badass woman? Like what makes you a badass?
Yeah.
You know? And I just think we throw that term around too much. You know, like, man, I have a great wife. I'm not saying anything about that. And maybe other people have great wives, but that doesn't mean that they're badass, right? Like they work for you. They're great. But a badass, I think, has to like, you got to like change the world a little bit. You got to be helping people. You got to be out there like making a difference.
I agree.
You know?
I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, we can, you know, everything is a measure from our own perspective. But when you are doing things that shift the consciousness of the planet and change the world, like that's proper badassery. And everyone in the world knows who Oprah is.
Yeah. Like this was my point. Like, Oprah's a fucking badass, man.
Yeah.
You know, like Oprah is a badass. Like, and for me to put myself or even like, dude, I love my wife, right? But she ain't fucking. We haven't changed the world yet. You know, like neither one of us. And it's like, you know, the Lego movie, everyone is awesome. I hate it. I can't stand it. No, everyone is not awesome. And I'm not like, but we can be awesome.
Yes. Like
we have the power to be awesome.
But yes.
First we have to admit that we're not. Like if I'm already awesome, then what am I working towards?
Right. Well, and you know, there's this idea of, you know, wherever I am right now, there's always the opportunity to get a little bit better today or to rest on my laurels. So even if you are already awesome, you know, there's the ability for you to be more of that. And I think, you know, you're speaking like a high achiever like me. And, you know, it's something that my family jokes with me about because I feel like this should be everyone's mentality. I feel like everybody should wake up every day and want to be their own version of a badass, but they don't.
I don't get rest on your laurels. Like, what is that? What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's like, what do you get? What are you dead? You know?
Yeah. It's the truth. Know? Well, yeah, so for me, cannabis was that catalyst that helped me recognize those things within myself, connect with my higher self, and choose to walk that path. What was that catalyst for you?
The catalyst for me was like a breakdown. Like I had like what I like to call a mental breakdown / spiritual awakening. You know?
Yeah. And, those are good for it.
You know, and like I don't know if there's a difference or the same or whatever. And it's not like a midlife crisis since I'm not old enough yet. I mean, maybe it is. Maybe it's an end of life crisis. Who knows? Everyone says midlife, right? Like we could die tomorrow. So yeah. Maybe this is the end of my life. You know, I don't know. But whatever crisis it was, I had one.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, what I came out with, we got to do this together a little more. We have to let people see where we flaw, and then we need to work on them. We need to work on that. We need to get up in the morning, make sure we don't have any makeup on. And let the world see us for who we are and not try to hide from neither our strengths or our vulnerabilities, you know?
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
And that's the message that I really try to preach, you know, of, and like my vehicle is now jujitsu, right? My vehicle is martial arts. Like how I do that in my day is martial arts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but we need a little more, we need a little more love. You know, because it's got to start with love. You know, like I don't like it started. I, you know, sometimes when I say like, yo, everyone's not awesome. Everyone's like, well, what about, you know, when you tell somebody that's struggling that I'm like, yeah, you have to tell them the truth. Like, you know, right now you are struggling.
Yeah.
You do have the power to get out of it.
Yeah.
you know?
Yes.
It's just some honest conversation, right? And then after you get out, you have the power to find your awesome, you know? It's not mine. Like, yours is cannabis. You just said cannabis. If I tried to go do cannabis, not happening. Like, don't get me wrong. I like my marijuana and I like my CBD.
Yeah.
But I don't have any passion in, like, making that more prevalent. I have passion in jiu-jitsu.
Right.
You know? So that's where, you know, every, you know, it's not yours and that's fine. If you try to do this jiu-jitsu thing, you're going to fall flat on your face, maybe.
Or not get my face time. Kicked in, one of the two.
Either one. Maybe, you know? You know, I had a friend say to me the other day, like, I'm learning how to do video editing. So that I'm trying to put my first podcast on YouTube right now. It's not going well. Anyway, so yeah. I'm trying to do video editing. I'm trying to use, like, whatever. And my friend's like, oh man, that's awesome. You'll be able to, like, teach other people how to do it. And I was like, no, man, not at all.
Yeah.
I don't want to teach anybody how to do it because it's not my passion.
Right.
I want to do it. I want to know how to do it enough for me so that I can get my work done. But, like, where I teach is jiu-jitsu. That's my passion.
Yeah.
So I need to learn other skills, but I'm not going to fuck around, like, trying to make money doing these other things that I don't really care about.
Exactly. And that's such a huge lesson for everyone. It's like, if you get paid to be yourself, get paid to do what you love. And then when you are working 60 hours a week, like we all inevitably do, you'll at least be doing something that you love and that you're driven by.
I'm retired. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't work.
So tell me.
I don't work at all.
Well, yeah, I feel like you tried to retire once and then you were like, no, fuck that. And so are you still competing?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I just competed on Saturday, actually. I don't fight anymore. You know, I don't get punched in the head, but I compete in professional, like, jiu-jitsu.
So you are retired from UFC fighting, which, you know, that was so hard for me to watch. I can't stand seeing people get, I hate the sound of, like, the flesh on flesh hitting each other. Like, the whole thing is not my cup of tea. I've been to the gym whenever I was visiting Colorado. Was it the Easton gym where you are or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
I'm with them all. We're co-owners of the Easton schools.
Okay. So yeah. I got to go in, check that out, see classes, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is cool. But the UFC stuff was turned this little country girl stomach.
You know, it's the most raw thing you can possibly do.
Yeah.
You know, it's got nothing to do with my opponent, which is really weird. But, like, to the public eye, like, to the perception, it's all about these two guys trying to kill each other, right?
Yeah.
But it's not that at all. It's 100% you. Can you deal with you? You know.
So is it like just getting in full on flow state?
You've never been so present in your life when someone's trying to kill you.
I believe that.
Right, like there. Let me tell you, there's no thinking about dinner. You know, there's no thinking about anything else other than this very, very present moment. You can't get away from it.
Yeah.
You know, you like the very like. It's so hard to explain because this person, if need be, will kick your head off. You know, and you'll do the same to them. It's an agreement that you have to go through this like special thing together where you both. Hopefully we'll be able to grow from the end of it. The problem is it's really hard to grow because it can be so emotional and so difficult. Getting your ass kicked, you know, is so difficult.
Well, and then how in that whole mental barrier of blocking out the pain that you're feeling in the moment and to turn that sensory off. I mean, do you feel it? Like the first couple it hits, you feel it and then you don't feel it anymore? Or does it just feel like an ass beating the whole time?
You don't feel it. It doesn't hurt. You just can't. It just either wake up looking at the lights or like when you get hit, you feel this like warm sensation go through your body, but you're not like, it's not pain, you know? Very rarely is it pain. What's painful is the body shots. Like the body shots are painful, yes, because you're very conscious. But when you get hit in the head, it's not that painful, you know. Afterwards, now, it's excruciating.
Yeah, that's why CBD is so fucking helpful.
It is. But I did, when I was fighting, there was no CBD, you know? Well, there was.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You couldn't get it, right? You know, that's like saying there was no gravity, right? Before it was invented, it was still there. We just weren't smart enough to know about it. So, but yeah, there's not a lot of pain, you know? There's not a lot of pain associated with the actual fight. With the pain, I mean, I can remember, like, I was in a fight, they announced the winner, and I'm fine, and then I walk out of the cage, and, like, as I'm walking back to the locker room, I'm like, oh, my fucking God, my leg. But, you know, but it's not like my leg didn't hurt before, but you just have all the adrenaline and emotion, right. And yada, yada.
Wow. Know? When did you start in martial arts? It was, you were a little wee one, right?
Yeah, I was barely out of my mommy's belly. 6 years old. You know,
so you had your 10,000 hours by the time you were graduating from high school.
I did. But then I kind of switched martial arts. I was doing like karate and then I switched to jiu-jitsu. So I had to put 10,000 more hours.
Got it.
You know?
Whenever you talked earlier about kind of having this breakdown that helped you kind of recenter and rebuild, was fighting a catalyst for that, or was fighting the thing that kind of helped you manage that?
So, man, you know, I had this image built, like, ever since I was a little kid, and I talk about this in my book. I wrote a book. It comes out February 12th.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
Send me an advanced copy.
I'll send you the PDF now, but it will be 99. You have to agree to buy it for 99 cents on the first day on Amazon.
I promise.
So, it might break the bank. I'll send you the dollar back if you need. Or anybody listening, let me know. If you need the 99 cents back, hit me up.
We'll make sure we include a link in the show notes. That way everybody can boost sales on the first day.
Sounds great. Thank you. So, man, I had this image built up in my head that I was that. Not even this image. I protected myself with my toughness. That's kind of how I got through life, that I was tough, you know, and when that's what you're using, the truth was, is I knew how tough I was not, you know, like deep down inside, I knew I wasn't like that tough, but like what I portrayed to the world was that I was, you know, and then when I got, but then you fight. And let me tell you, I have no gold belt that says UFC with diamonds in it hanging in my house, you know, so I wasn't the champion and people saw me get beat up, you know, so therefore, you know, like that whole image wasn't like, you know, it kind of crumbled. And then I was like, oh, no, it didn't crumble. So I screamed it even louder, right? Like I screamed it even fucking louder. And then I had this breakdown and I had to, you know what, somewhere in the breakdown, right in the beginning of it, I said, you know what, I'm going to go the other way. Because most people did think I was tough and I probably was and am physically tougher than most people.
Yes, like I would concur with that.
So what I think we need a little more of is a little less of the look how great I am and a little more of the like, yo, I do some good things, but I'm not like perfect. You know, I know you guys look at me like this UFC fighter, champion, business owner, entrepreneur, but I got this weakness over here. You know, now that I told you my weakness, go ahead and try to use it against me. You can't. I'm aware of it. It's just when our weaknesses get exposed, right? Then when we are like either hiding them or weren't aware of them, that they start to be problems.
Well, and that's, you know, having the courage to be vulnerable. That is the most challenging thing that we face in our lives is, are we going to show people who we really are? Because we all are fucking scared to show who we are. And so for, a giant meathead, if I'm going to just use a blanket term for all people that fight, that it seems like the craziest thing in the world is to tell somebody that you're weak. So yeah, when you do that, it's like, now what do you got? I've already said the thing. So,
Oh, you're going to use it against me that people can beat me up? Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
That oh, I'm scared. Oh yeah, guess what? You are too, but I'm aware of mine.
Right.
You know, I'm aware of mine. I'll tell you mine right now. Let's get down in the dirty of the pits of hell and see who can not win, who can just like chill in it.
Yeah.
Right. Because when you're looking at the devil in the eyes, you can't always try to beat the devil. You just got to say hello to him.
Well, and the other thing too is when you stop competing so hard to be the best at something and relax and just enjoy who you are, where you are, it's like, oh my God, wait, this is way more fun. This is a lot less stressful here. There's a lot more cool people hanging out here. And so it's like you find your tribe when you can really just let go and be your authentic self.
And for me, I'm even competing better because, I've never competed this well in my entire life. Even when I was in better shape and younger and focused my entire life on competing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am competing better now as a almost 38-year-old man with kids and businesses and a wife. I got shit to do all day. I don't have time to train 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, you know, I train, I do my thing, but like I'm facing tougher jiu-jitsu competition than I ever faced and winning. It's really, you know, and it's got nothing to do with like the physical skill set so much. It does. My skill, you know, like I'm building physical skills, but I am not physically better.
Right.
At 38 than when I was 25. I am emotionally better. I am spiritually better.
Yeah. You know?
So that way I can go in there and be like, all right, this is pretty chill.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that. For my cannabis-loving audience, I would like to know how you do use cannabis and whether or not it's, you know, THC and CBD or just CBD for your performance and recovery.
So I like salve, that company that I work with called Evo Labs. It's a cream they have both a CBD only and they have a CBD THC mix of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they rub it on, you know, it's like
right, a topical. Yeah.
A topical. And man, I do it at night, mostly like after I train, and it's amazing. Like, you know, and I smoke a little CBN with it, you know?
Yep. So you can go to sleep.
So I can go to sleep and chill and relax. Right. You know, I do enjoy my THC as well. More of an indica fan, you know, but
yeah, me too.
Because I don't like to do it in the day for some reason. Like it makes me, if I have something to do, I don't like it. It's not fun for me. And I like to do it like, you know, like some people come home and have a drink at night and, you know, I come home and have a puff at night.
Yeah. Know? I call it the reefer recap.
Yeah. You know, and I don't, I'm not a huge user, you know, but I use it like sparing, you know, not sparingly. I do the sound.
You microdose it, it sounds. It, yeah. I mean, you use it in a responsible way. So when was the first time that you consumed cannabis? I mean, if you were competing as a kid, did you still do the typical teenage stuff or did you wait?
No, so I wasn't competing at that point, but yeah, I still did the typical teenage stuff, you know, like just getting as blitzed as you can where you can't even like feel your hands. Right. Yeah. Like, so I did, you know, I did all that. And then I went and had my, you know, and then I competed. So I didn't do anything. And then, you know, after my breakdown, I just kind of like did some research on it, you know?
Yeah.
About what it can do when you don't overuse.
Right.
Like when you're not trying to just get ripped, where you can just, you know, chill at your house and you can just relax. You know,
yeah.
I don't enjoy doing it with a lot of people. You know, that doesn't make me very, like, I don't like that, you know, but I don't drink with people either. It's not something I do anymore. So it's not just like the cannabis. I like to like be very comfortable in my own surrounding,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just kind of, and people that I'm comfortable with and do my thing, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Because I consume cannabis consistently throughout the day, mm-hmm. you know, I use it as a catalyst for creativity, or, you know, I suffer from anxiety and a touch of OCD, and, you know, it helps me from being a lunatic. And mm-hmm. so for me, it just is, you know, part of my medicine regimen. So when someone comes over and they're like, oh, like we need to get together and smoke sometime, I'm like, well, that just seems silly. Like, just smoke wherever you are. Like, we can get together and do something, but it doesn't need to just be centered around us smoking together. Because frankly, yeah, some people, I think they're terrible high. Like, they repeat the same story over and over, or they can't figure out their words. And I'm just like, I'd rather not be around you when you're that high.
Yeah. I don't. It's not what I'm trying to do. You know, it's not like, I don't want to smoke with you. I want to do something with you. Like, I smoke like by myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you drink very much, or do you prefer the high of cannabis?
I like cannabis better. Like, for some reason, alcohol has some negative effects on me that I don't really enjoy. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah, this just works much better for me. And plus, I want to be physically active. So, like, there's no downside, right? Like, I never wake up not feeling good.
Now, what about...
Even if you take a couple too many, right?
Right.
How old are you?
42.
42, right? So we're like, it's not like when you were 20 with alcohol, right? Like, you can recover by the next night.
Yeah.
Right? If you drink too much, man, it's like 4 days, you know?
Yes, doesn't feel well. Yeah, or I don't feel well.
It's not hard to do that, right? Like, one more can put you there sometimes. Mm-hmm. Where, like, one more puff, like, even you're like, well, even when you get a little too high, still the next day is fine.
Well, if I get a little higher than I want to, that's over in 45 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. But no next day.
Yeah. And I recently, a girlfriend and I have started tracking our alcohol consumption to just see how many drinks we're having a week. Because, you know, I will, when I'm really stressed out and I'm working a lot, I'm consuming cannabis and then I'll have 2 glasses of wine. And then I wake up the next morning and I'm like, 2 glasses of wine used to not make me feel like this, but now I feel terrible. Right. And, you know, the mornings are kind of my time. And if I wake up with a hangover and I waste the first 2 hours of my morning just trying to feel better, it pisses me off. So I'm like, okay, let's track this alcohol thing because I want to cut back.
Right. I pretty much don't do it for the most part. Yeah. God, every once in a while I might have a beer, you know, but I pretty much don't do it. I don't want to use medicines like cannabis, for example, to avoid what's going on in my life.
Yes.
You know, I think this is a terrible way that people don't be vulnerable, you know, and don't face what their demons are.
Yeah.
You know,
I did an episode on this with a friend. It's about cannabis helps you check in and alcohol helps you check out.
Right. But we don't want to get, for example, like, you don't want to get too high either, right? Because then you're not checking. You're drowning out, you know?
Right.
You can drown out with both, right? Like, alcohol has no positive. Where I do believe the cannabis does help you check in when you hit that nice sweet spot.
Yes.
You know? And you're aware of what you're doing, you know? I don't want people to, like, be like, oh, yeah, this is like, come home, get hammered on whatever drug of choice is. You know, or cannabis or mushrooms or whatever. Like, I don't think that's the answer to anything. You know, that is not the answer.
Well, I mean, everything within reason, you know, it's all about microdosing everything in our life, whether it's psychedelics or alcohol or food or whatever.
The only thing I don't want to microdose is my experience in life, right? Like, I want
there
to
you go.
I want to jump in the deep end of the water of life. You know, I think we need to do a little bit more of that, right? Like, not, we test the water too much.
Yeah.
You know, we dip our toes in because we're too scared of the failure side of it and what that will make us feel like. So, like, don't put your toe in the water.
Yeah.
Ride or die with your decisions.
Yes.
And see what happens.
I love it. We're kindred spirits. We are totally kindred spirits. My favorite is jump and the net will appear. Just fucking go for it. Yeah. In anything, everything always works out. It's always going to work out. The universe has your back.
I don't know if it does, but
I think it does.
Have your back. And you'll find some people that will have your back too.
Exactly.
You know?
It's a connected world. It's a connected universe. So when somebody, a friend shows up to help you, I think that's all, you know, divinely written.
We'll disagree.
Yes, I know. I know. I'm not a God person. I'm not a church going person, but I do believe that we are all one energy and we all start from the earth and we leave to the earth and it's a beautiful cycle and there has to be some universal energy that created that. So that's,
we agree there. Yeah, no, I'm not a God person either, but I believe in God, like, in the spiritual sense.
Right. Like, something did this.
Somehow this happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Somehow this amazing plant happened that lets me spiral off into these crazy conversations sometimes.
Right. I don't know what it is. I don't really care about what it is.
Yes.
I used to care a lot, and I don't care anymore.
Right, because it's like, so, let's just enjoy it.
Yeah, and let's just not hate each other because of it.
Yeah. I mean, let's just enjoy the experience. Like, yeah, fuck it. Who cares? Like, we have, you know, the world is a beautiful playground. Let's have some fucking fun.
I agree with you.
So do you experiment with cannabis at all when you're practicing or teaching, or is it strictly just an after work thing?
It's all a nightcap thing for me. I tried it and I hated it.
Yeah.
I don't find myself, because I find myself sometimes to be creative the next day after, like in the morning, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I have like an epiphany sometimes, you know,
okay.
but like in the moment, I'm not very, I don't know if it's because I get a little too paranoid, or I don't know what it is.
Well, and if you have anxiety, then, you know, yeah. it's a very delicate dance to find your sweet spot without getting more anxious.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's not for me. You know, it's a big thing in the jiu-jitsu world sometimes. And I think a lot of people like promote it, and then but it gets promoted in a wrong way. You know, like I don't know how to say this. I don't drink with my students either, though.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do anything with my students. They don't see me drunk. They don't see me high. They don't see me anything like that, you know, because I don't believe that that's the place for me to do that.
Yeah.
I am their leader. I'm the boss.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And that's just not how I go through my life. But I tell them that I do it. Like, everyone knows what I do. It's not like I'm like hiding in some dark room. No, I do this, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll talk about doing it. It's that I do it, but it's for me, you know, like, I don't know, no one sees me having sex with my wife either, right?
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
You know, like, that's a thing for me and me and her, and this experience is a thing for me. And don't get me wrong, like, I'll have friends over and have a drink or something, or smoke while they're there, but they're very close friends.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that's a fair point, and something that could absolutely just shut down that conversation.
yeah, so.
Well, fair enough. What about with your anxiety? Is that, I mean, I feel like that's probably why you like indica dominant strains, because sativa strains can make me a little anxious.
I like the indica, and they help me go to sleep more for me.
Yeah.
You know, they help me relax more than they do, like, pep me up a little bit, you know, like the whole, like, somebody gave me something once, like, this is our energy drink, you know, like, to smoke. And I was like, this is fucking awful.
Yeah.
Like, no. You know, like,
yeah. I had one of those. I had a wristband that monitored your like emotional wellness, and I had to stop wearing it because when I smoke any sort of a sativa, it makes my heart racy. And so this wristband was telling me that I was, you know, on the verge of dying.
Right. Yeah. I can't handle any of that. Like, I don't do any of that monitoring stuff too much, you know? Because it can make me just go down a bad path.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know I like what I like. This is what I do. And here we go.
Right. You know? Well, so I recently had several genetics panels run, and I have an epigenetic coach who went through and was like, okay, this is how your body forms muscle, and this is how your body recovers, and this is your best path for exercise and sleep and food and supplementation and all that kind of stuff. And I had my endocannabinoid panel done, and I was so worried because I'm like, what if this tells me that cannabis isn't great for me and I've been using it every day for 22 years? Like, am I going to really change that behavior? And fortunately, I found out that cannabis is good for me and the way I use it is good for me. But some of my favorite foods, now whenever I go out, I do have that thing like, you know what? I shouldn't eat that. It's something that I didn't necessarily want to know, but now that I'm empowered with that information, I feel like I have to be disciplined enough to, you know, listen to it.
You have the mouth porn problem, right? Like the food that you're not supposed to eat, the porn for your mouth, right?
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
It's, you know, like, you're like, God damn it. But this is so good.
Oh, my God. That's a great analogy. Thank you for that.
You know? So, you know, but yeah, I haven't had them done because I don't want to find out that I'm like gluten intolerant or some shit.
On the gluten thing, it was, you know, I didn't really read one way or the other. And he's like, you know, if you want to cut gluten out for a few weeks to see if it helps. And I'm like, no, thank you. Not interested.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm okay with my gluten.
It's too good.
It is so good.
I have the mouth porn problem too, right? That's why I won't even go check.
You know, I guess if we're going to have problems, those are good problems to have at these points in our lives.
I'll take it.
So, okay, tell me, I want to plug your podcast and your book. So tell me what you're up to and how people can stay in touch with you, Elliot.
So both my book and my podcast, my book will be out in February. The podcast is The Gospel of Fire. So, but that's the name of the book as well. You can find it at iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, all over the place. It's on my website at elliotmarshall.com. And then...
And that's Elliot with one L, E-L-I-O-T.
One L, one T. Yes, one L, one T, Marshall with two L. And then, yeah, all my Instagram, Facebook handles, all that kind of stuff, Twitter. I don't like Twitter that much, but I'm there.
Yeah.
Fire Marshall 205. And you're asking where the 205 came from. That's the weight division I used to fight in, and I will only see again when I'm dying.
So, okay, and I know that you said you recently competed. So tell me, mm-hmm. what's your latest? I think you're the only person to hold some title, and it was a really long name, and I don't want to have to try to say it in the intro. So tell me right now what that is.
So I was the first American to win the gold medal at the Pan American Games for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, all the belts coming up before black. I never competed in the black belt, but I started fighting in MMA. But I was the first one to do that. I won a bunch of stuff, you know. All great. I love it. I love jiu-jitsu. I give all the money I win competing away, you know, so I don't keep any of it. I give it to people that are suffering from anxiety and depression so that they can, like, go to therapy, you know, do whatever it is they need to do to help themselves.
I love that so much.
Now, I live a really blessed life, like we were talking about earlier, right? And I'm not sure by what or who or anything like that, but all I know is that in my struggle, I had everything I needed, everything somebody could possibly need to get help. And that's not everyone's case.
Yeah.
You know, that's not everyone's case. So my job is to, like, I heard Obama say this on the new Letterman show. You know, Letterman has a new special on that.
Yes, it was so good.
He said, you know, he was talking about Letterman asked him how great it was to be the president or something like that. His response was like, man, he's like, my job is to take some of the luck dust that got sprinkled on me and sprinkle it on other people. You know?
Yeah.
It's just because I think too much the reason that we blame people so much, or the reason that we take so much, I'm sorry, the other way, the reason that we like to take so much credit is because we're scared of being blamed. You know,
yeah.
Everyone, again, talks about how great they are and look what I did, man. There's no such thing as a self-made man. You know, that does not exist, or a woman, whatever. You didn't make yourself.
Yeah. You know,
somewhere along the way, you had an experience with somebody or something changed you. Something changed you. I don't know, Joanna, maybe you're going to become the next Joe Rogan with your podcast, right? Somebody made this thing called the internet that allowed you to do that.
Yeah.
You didn't do that.
Right.
Like, so if we can... You know, if we can understand that we're all unique, nobody's special, and that we're all kind of in this race together, stop putting all this hatred and, like, I'm better than you and I'm going to blame you. If we can get away from a little bit of that, I think we'll do a little better in helping each other rather than pushing each other down.
Yes. I've been shaking my head over here like... Oh yes, preach on everything you said. It's the gospel,
you know, and do hard shit in your life, guys. Like, I like to do hard things. I like to do very difficult things because it prepares me for one, it's challenging, and you want to feel accomplished. Go do something you're bad at, you know, and then watch yourself get good at it. You want to, like, don't take the participation trophy, throw that shit in the fucking trash.
Yes.
You know, like, throw that shit away. Don't take it. take the trophy of winning, but first take all the losses first. Go home, cry, admit you lost, and then learn and deal with it. You know, and then when you're actually good, you know, when you're actually good at it, that's what's going to make you feel good. You know, that's what's really going to make you feel good. Nothing else. You know, nothing else.
I liked that sermon. So we have more of that on the Gospel of Fire podcast. So I will be tuning in, and I hope you guys will too. Elliot, thank you for being inspiring first thing in the morning. This was my earliest podcast.
Yes.
I still have sleep in my eyes.
I had to do some meditation too. I wake up, you know, I have to wake up. I have little kids, right? So I have to wake up early to do my meditation to make sure I get in as much as I need in the day. You know, I have to get up at 5:30. It sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I have to like wake myself up so that I'm like, all right, don't fall back asleep.
Yeah. No. And I my alarm goes off at 5:15, but with this, this tincture that I take before I go to bed so that I can fall asleep faster, I wake up like 5 minutes before my alarm clock, ready to go. But I have to have a breakfast before I can meditate, because otherwise I will go back to sleep.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, man, you know, they say when you're doing something right, your passion wakes you up. You don't need a clock.
Well, I'm there, brother.
You know, that's right. All right. Sounds good, Joanna.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, Elliot. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yep.
Didn't I tell you he's a fucking badass? I love that man. All right. Thanks for tuning in to Casually Baked, the podcast. We had a time together. Casually Baked, the podcast was created, recorded, and produced by yours truly. Editing and sound design are in the capable hands of Arnav Gupta. The podcast theme music is by my highly talented friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with Seth's music, you can find High Time on his album Gotta Get Back wherever you're buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out. It's taking me a minute to get the video version of the podcast out into the world. I'll get faster, I promise. The unedited episodes of the podcast will live on the @casuallybaked YouTube channel and on channel 203 on cannabisclub.tv. If you were inspired by my conversation with Elliot, I hope you'll share this episode with a friend. Happy holidays to you and yours.